Hi, you guys. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. I know you don't have to tell me you are having an awesome, a fabulous, a wonderful day, morning, afternoon, depending on where you are. If you're listening to this show live or if you're checking out the replay on our iTunes, we on iTunes. We got us a podcast. We're actually on iTunes. We're actually on Speaker. We're actually on, of course, all the social media, our website, and we're on YouTube as well. So I just thank you. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for your support. You always support us in the things that we have been entrusted to do, that we actually serve people, that we impact people, and we actually help them go closer and closer to their purpose and their destiny in life. I am your host, Dr. Renee Sunday, and I am the platform builder. Some people know me as the be seen, be heard, get paid expert, but the thing is to remember, I'm a servant. So I love to be in my purpose, but guess what? I can't really, truly, truly, truly be in my purpose unless you're in your purpose. So we got to get it together. We got to do the things that we need to do to move forward. Now, the question of the day that people have sent in, and the Dr. Renee question, ask Dr. Renee, that's what we say it is. They wanted to know, somebody wanted to know, since I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, it was kind of interesting. They wanted to know, really, it was a personal question, but I can share. It was about, tell us about your family and how your family was. Were they involved or were they, how they were impacted by the civil rights movement? And that's a powerful, powerful question. Actually, when I do my live events or when I'm actually speaking, I talk a little bit more in detail because it's a platform that I could share more, and I'm actually being the speaker or the transformational speaker. But anyway, I told some people, when I'm speaking, I am from Birmingham, Alabama. I grew up in poverty. I grew up, and I did have my mom and dad in the home, and they built us up in a Christian foundation. And I actually, and I know we're going to get into this, so it's timely how this has happened. I actually grew up being real slim, real skinny. That's what we used to call it back then. I grew up wearing glasses. I think I started wearing glasses at the third grade. Yeah, pretty young. So I was always called Four Eyes, Olive Oil. Y'all know Pop Out of Sailor Man, wife or girlfriend or however you want to say it. And then I was always called the Sunday School Girl because of my last name. And then I was always called the Smarty Pants, the Church Girl, as I said earlier. But anyway, long story short, I really had concerns that people would always make fun of me. I actually always would come home and tell my parents about it. And they always told me this phrase, and this phrase helps me whenever I come go through a trial and tribulation, and that is that I can do whatever I put my mind to, that I can do whatever God is going to strengthen me in the things that I need to do. And they also said I was beautiful and I was wonderfully made, and I actually can do it. And they instilled that in me at an early age. But my dad actually was baptized in the Pettus Bridge, the pond there where, it's a lake. If anyone has seen Oprah Winfrey's Selma movie, and also if you actually have heard of the Selma March, same body of water. Isn't it amazing? And my mom actually was part of the bus boycott. So my family is, I hear so many, and we actually get that recorded and actually penned the stories from the Sunday family because they actually was in the trenches. They were there. My mom and dad actually went to different rallies from Dr. Martin Luther King and many different other things, Shuttlesworth, all those things that happened in Birmingham, Alabama. So we salute them. We salute all of our forefathers and mothers that actually paved the way. That, especially in my case, I really say, because I could say I'm Dr. Renee Sunday, that I went to medical school, I'm an anesthesiologist, those things. But I'm not going to take up too much time because I'm not the guest. But somebody asked that question, and I say, that's an interesting question. And I say, you know what, I've never shared that on air. So I wanted to answer that briefly. Of course, that's a brief explanation, but I grew up in the hood, if you want to call it that. But I grew up in love. And everybody has a story, right? But, you know, I thank God that he took care of me as I went through life's journey. And he's taking care of you as well. But we want to go real quickly because, you know, we never planned this, but it always worked out that our amazing guest can actually, I told her in the green room that she going to help keep continue to deliver me because now we call it what bullying. Back then they call it just making fun of people or, you know, talking to, you know, tattletaling and whatever they used to call it. But we want to introduce, we have the amazing, the wonderful Dr. Nina Knight. I mean, she's a Philadelphia, you know, I like Philadelphia native, and she's an educator. She's a youth advocate. Now, I got to say that at least two more times. She's a youth advocate. And I said one more time, right? A youth advocate, because we need that. We need that. Oh, my God, we need it. She's a community volunteer. And guess what? An author of the newly released book, just the name because it's so powerful in the name, Wilderness to Wellness. That's just an aha, Maude. You know, we could just pause right there for a minute and meditate on that awesome topic that she actually going to tell us about. But after completing her undergraduate studies in the urban education at, guess what, Penn State University, and graduate studies in special education and reading intervention, I love it, at St. Joseph University, Dr. Knight completed her doctorate of education with the emphasis, check this out, of administrative leadership for teaching and learning at Walden University, excuse me. In 2014, her research developments on, guess what, see, nobody could have planned this, right, on bullying and implications of school reform was published. Dr. Knight, she's so humble, but Dr. Knight has been an educator for, guess what, 17 years. She has served as a school-based teacher. Now, that's a word that we got to say again, school-based teacher, principal. Oh, now, she's principal. Woo! Okay, and special education liaison and dean of students. I mean, I just love her already. And currently, she serves as an intervention support advisor. Ooh, I just love it. I'm ready to receive, and I know you are, ladies and gentlemen, this wisdom that she's going to actually give us. We want to welcome to Good Deeds, none other than Dr. Nina Knight. Welcome to Good Deeds. How you doing?
Hello, Dr. Sunday. Thank you for such an awesome introduction. I'm humbled. Just even listening to your story, I'm just honored to even be a part of this show with you. Thank you.
Well, we thank you because you just, everybody that instills in our students are celebrities. And that's the real celebrities, okay? But mm-hmm. Dr. Knight, tell us a little bit more about yourself because, you know, of course, I said a lot there. But let's go back and peel back the layers, as they say, about some more things, or we can dive deep in some of the things that I actually said in your bio. Tell us a little bit about the things that you're just really, you being your influence and you impacting really the world.
Right. My background is pretty much almost similar to your background. You know, grew up in Philadelphia, grew up in poverty. God bless where I didn't know I was poor. So I, you know, God had my and still in the God gave me
Dr. Knight, if we can't hear you, turn your phone up. Turn your phone up a little. Okay. We can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's perfect.
Okay, this better. Yes, mm-hmm. I said God gave me a call and to answer the call, you know, I'm sitting and I'm playing in my summertime, just playing school. And that I fought the call. I didn't want to become a teacher. I tried to do everything except teach. So I was spending money at universities just trying to go the opposite route. But God had it where he wanted me to teach, and it was, you know, my willingness to just answer that call that, you know, enabled me to just catapult into every, you know, area of my life that I'm, the success that I'm experiencing now is just answering the call that God gave me probably almost in third grade to just become a teacher.
Wow. Now that's a whole nother level. Now, but let me ask you, Because a lot of people say, you, like you said, you got that call in the third grade. Tell us some things. I know it's some of them probably funny and some of them very serious as well, of things that you remember as an early age that actually say, wait a minute, I think I am a teacher.
At first, I didn't know at first. I just had a love for education. I had a love for learning. Going to Sunday school, I actually resisted learning. I was like, if I do school all week long, I don't want to go to Sunday school and be, you know, asked to be dissecting the verbs in the passage. So I was trying, you know, fighting it on one end. But I always loved to read. So I found myself as a young girl engaged in reading. I asked my mom to buy me books. So I thank God that I had a supportive parent, you know, supportive parents, where they enabled me to purchase a lot of books, where my library was filled with books. Me playing school, and that was really like me just engaging in educational practices constantly, that really was at a young age that just catapulted me to just continue that, to be a lifelong learner. So witness my aunt was who's also my pastor, watching her going to school and better herself and just see what knowledge was doing for her. It just, I was just inspired by that, and I just wanted that as a little girl, even though I kind of, like I said, I fought it. I was trying to do something else, because answering God's call to anything is difficult. And, you know, sometimes we feel unqualified. We feel that, you know, why would God call me, because of our limitations that we feel we have within ourselves. But if we can just trust God, and this is the process that I'm learning now, that if I can trust God, the sky is truly the, you know, is beyond the limit. You know, the sky is not just the limit, it's beyond the limit. I can go further. I can go anywhere that God would have me to be if I just trust him and answer his call.
Yeah, I totally can understand about that. But let me ask you, you know, the things about you not knowing the call, but you end up being in that. Can you remember back when you actually, now this is a tricky question because a lot of people can't answer this, when you actually acknowledged it and you started walking in that path?
Right. I think I was at Westchester University and I was struggling with answering my call. I was unhappy. I was failing. I was paying to take courses over and over. And I met a gentleman and he said to me, you know, you have to do, he didn't use the word call, but he used like what makes you happy. Yes, you know, what you're passionate about. And it was then, you know, that I was just like, why am I fighting that call to be a teacher? Because that was my passion. And even as I traveled, you know, through school and I'm experiencing different people, I was in a classroom for probably like 4 to 5 years. I've been out the classroom in leadership roles because I believe my call is, you know, not just for children, it's for teachers, it's for all. You know, when I say God has called me to teach, he is bridging those gaps where I'm teaching others to just kind of answer their call, to be inspired to just follow God's plan for their life. And if I can teach you and help, you know, all understand that, then I'm just like humbly just walking in that call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you mean. That's amazing. And ladies and gentlemen, these are some great gems because a lot of people, in my case, when I thought anesthesia was my thing, I'm, you know, ready to, you know, retire. And then next thing I know, you know, I ended up, things start shifting pretty quickly. And, you know, the thing that my grandma used to always say when you pray for God to increase your territory, make sure you really know what you're
right.
praying for, because he'll elevate you and elevate you quickly to things that you're not aware of. Excuse me. But listen, Dr. Knight, let's ask a question about this, because the amazing thing, you went through all your schooling, high level, I mean, Ivy League places that you've actually have trained in. Tell us a little bit about that experience, because a lot of people don't realize, and I know you're going to touch on this, you got to truly do your due diligence when you in your studies, no matter what the career or the purpose is. Tell us just briefly about that, because a lot of people, I think, we miss the value in the due diligence or doing the work.
Right. It's extremely important to do the work. Sometimes we feel as though it's easier to just give half-hearted efforts. But the importance in doing the work is you actually learn vital lessons. And had I not gone through those processes of actually doing the work, I would not have learned the lesson of perseverance, learned the lessons of patience, learned the lessons of waiting on God. So it's in actually doing the work that God actually begins to teach you, that God actually begins to instruct you, that God actually begins to lead you into higher callings and into higher places. So each school I went to, it was a different lesson I had to learn when I wanted to give up. And that's the key in actually doing the work. Sometimes in doing the work, you get tired. You want to give up. But then I'm reminded, you know, the Bible tells me that if I faint, you know, not, you know, if I'll have success if I don't faint. And it's just kind of doing the work. Doing the work is about not fainting. It's about giving God your all. And as we give God our all, he in turn turns that around and he strengthens us. He helps us to answer the call because we are giving and reflecting him. We are giving him his glory when we answer the call that he has for his life. I'm on a new path now where just my new motto is my life, his plan. So it's just his call. So I'm just like so happy to answer his call for my life.
Now that's a drop the mic right there, because we know the people be saying drop the mic, because you know, and I want to put a pin there to say, ladies and gentlemen, we know that's a process and everybody's process is totally different. The thing is that Dr. Knight has told us so amazing, and please get this, is we got to make that choice. I mean, we run from our calling. I know I did, but you got to go. I think what hit for me, Dr. Knight, was I realized, first of all, that it's not all about me. So by me not answering the call, you know, at all, I'm not helping other people. Number two, really ain't helping myself. But the thing is, when you realize that it's about helping people or helping other people get to their purpose and destiny in life, you know, all that selfish stuff kind of go to the side. I'll just be honest about that. I just really enjoy, and all of us do, you know, if you really peel back the layers of your life, you want people to actually have a fulfilled life and have a happy life. So that is so, that makes me want to jump right now. But tell us, let's move a little bit further, because you have an amazing life and journey, you know, after you went to college. And tell us, because now you actively are in the lives of, you know, just really educating people. And tell us about that, because that's a wonderful journey that I think needs to be spotlighted every day.
Yes, my job, I do work for the School District of Philadelphia. It's very challenging. We deal with children who come from poverty, come from broken homes, and my aim and my goal is just to love them and to demonstrate God's love. Now, while being in schools, we can't, you know, preach Christ or we can't, you know, preach Jesus, but I could give them love. I can show them the love of God. I can let them know that, you know, they are conquerors. They are, you know, without saying God, they are God's children, and let them know how valuable they are. And it is in that building of a relationship that I am able to express God's love. God has a relationship with us, and he wants us to have relationships with others so that they can experience his love and want to come to know Christ. But when I'm dealing with children, me working with them and building that relationship helps them to want to learn, helps them to want to grow. And that is the call, is to help children and others in that area want to grow and want to develop. But that's through building of relationships. So once I build that relationship, I'm able to help them. I'm able, and I believe in servant leadership. So God has blessed me where I have been when in my schooling, probably like 4 or 5 leaders, and I'm able to be with those leaders. It's like Daniel. I have to work in that spirit of excellence. I'm servant leadership. So I'm serving each leader. I have to learn each leader. So when I get a new leader, my aim and my goal is how can I serve this leader? How could I help their plan, their vision come to pass as they are here to service these children? I'm here for the children, but I'm also here to ensure that the leadership is in a position, because leaders, you know, they go through, they struggle, they're misunderstood. So me being a liaison have, you know, kind of bridge that gap to help others to see, let's build this leader so that the vision can come to pass, that the children can benefit, and we're all in this village working together to help and assist each other.
That's powerful. So let me ask you this, and I'm not trying to belittle anyone by asking this question, but I know nowadays being a teacher and being any staff person in the schools is totally different than it was, especially when I grew up. When you say relationship, because, you know, it's kind of touchy, and in the medical field it's the same way. It's a touchy subject. When you say relationship with the kids, tell us what's, quote-unquote, a good relationship with the kids. You know what I'm saying? Because some people, I've heard kids say, and I'm going to be honest, when I've done career days, that they think the teacher doesn't care. Some of them think that you just actually getting a paycheck. I mean, these are just things that I've heard students say. Kind of help us out with that, because I think I'm going to say both sides, the kids, the parents, the community leaders, we need to really cultivate that to have a relationship with the kids so we can actually let them know we love them. So tell us a little bit about that, because I think we kind of, with the changing of the generations, we have kind of lost that in a way of establishing that wonderful relationship that you have with your kids.
Right. You hit it. You hit the nail on the head. It's just really built about letting the children know that you care. And once they know that you care and they see that you're here for them, then they're open up. My children all know that there is not one behavior that they can do that will make me walk out the door. One, I need my job. But two, I'm answering God's call. So no matter how frustrated I get, I'm here for them, and I have to let them know that I'm here for them. I have mercy to show. So I have to forget that they cursed me out, that they threw the trash can at me. I have to forget that in 5 minutes and extend mercy and let them know that I love them and try to hear their voice on maybe what they're going through. So that's when I'm building relationship, is trying to understand them, letting them know that I love them. And even when I'm fussing at them, they know, wow, you know, Dr. Knight, she really cares about me, because she'll hear me out. She's not going to just call my mom. She's not going to just, you know, give me a suspension. She's actually going to hear me out, and she's going to see what my problem is to see if I can actually assist and help them get the solution to their problem. So that's a part of that building relationship. And they're all going through, they're in this, they're all going through, tying it to my book, they're all going through a wilderness experience. Our children are going through experiences that I haven't had to go through in my life. So when I'm talking to them, you know, my mom, I had my mom and my dad, you know, they had tough love. My dad worked, my mom worked. My dad had his business. A lot of children didn't have all that. They don't come from those types of homes. And when I'm witnessing that, I'm looking at our children go through wilderness experiences. And the goal is to get them to wellness, to get them to complete healing, to get them to know that even in these, you know, negative experiences, that wellness is possible, that healing is possible, that growth is possible. Because when we're in our wilderness, we feel defeated. We feel like God has forgotten us. But it is in our wilderness that God is actually making us. He is kind of molding us. He's shaping us to show us how powerful and how strong we are so that we can obtain wellness.
Girl, you preaching now. Oh, my, that's amazing. That's amazing. Because what I, you know, and I don't have kids, I'm going to throw that out there, but when I see the kids' face, I think they, and I'm thinking back when I was younger, we want direction. Mm-hmm. We want direction. We want love. But if our environment You know, like you said, I did as well. I grew up in poverty, but I did have that love in the home. But I really believe the kids, they say all this about millennials and this about this, but they just want love. They
right.
just want love. And then they want us, and I'm going to say us, I'm going to include me, myself in this, is they want the adults to be consistent, especially
right.
when we do one thing in the church and then we do something else when we go home or riding home from church, we're doing something else. We really can't do that. But you know what I had to do, and I'm going to be very transparent. What I had to do in my life, Dr. Knight, was realize my parents did the best they could.
Exactly.
With what they had. Let me add that component on there because that makes a big difference. Now, of course, a child that, they say 8, 9, 10, and even 21 may not even understand that till they get to almost 50 like me. And don't put that out there in the way, y'all. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just saying it's a process for me to actually have realized that. So young people, because we do have a lot of young people that listen, I mean, your parents don't want to keep you away from anything. They just have been there, done that. And they don't want you to actually get hurt or have a bad experience, you know, because they've done
right.
it. but tell
exactly.
us, you kind of threw in there really quick there about your book, The Wilderness. You touched on that a little bit, but go in detail a little bit. You know, well, of course, we don't buy the book. Now, we ain't giving y'all everything. You know how I am about that, buying the book. But how did you actually come up with the title? Because I'm always fascinated with the title of actual books.
That is also answering the call. You know, I went through breast cancer. I was diagnosed with breast cancer 5 years ago. And during that time, I journaled. And I just left my journal there, but God kept asking me to write a book. And I felt unqualified. You know, even though I answered the call to teach, I was trying to run away from this call. I felt unqualified. So God gave me everything. He told me to write the book. He gave me the title through somebody. It was like this sister came to me and texted me and said, you got a book, and it's called Wilderness to Wellness. I try not even to use the book. And as I begin to, like, listen to the title, Wilderness to Wellness, and look at my experience, it just, like, resonated. It was like, this is what the title is supposed to be, Wilderness to Wellness. And I just started mapping it out. I just gave a transparent account of actually just going through two surgeries within, I would say, three months.
Mm.
So two major surgeries within 3 months. When I was going to have one surgery, I discovered that I actually had a lump on my breast, which turned out later to be cancer, and I had to go right back and have another surgery.
Mm. Now, we got to get that book, ladies and gentlemen, because she's giving us some nuggets right on it. Wow. But the great thing about it is, with the title of the book, is that in the middle word says two. So she didn't stay in this. She went to another level, if we will. She actually got healed and delivered, and she's here to tell us about it. Because whatever story, ladies and gentlemen, that you read, you hear, or you witness someone expressing words like we have here today, is you find yourself in that story. And that's the key, finding yourself, because to realize, number one, is you're not alone in the things that you're going through. And then also Dr. Knight gives us, in her book, ways that we actually continue to do that too, meaning not staying in that same situation. I love it. But Dr. Knight, I'm going to give you the end time here. And, you know, we had a great conversation here, and we actually want to continue our dialogue. I mean, we got to get you back because you're powerful in the things that you've been through, the things that you actually continue to do in your life. Speak to the audience, anything that we have missed that we need to address or anything that's weighing, as the old people say, weighing heavy on your heart. But then after that, please tell us how we can contact you and how we can actually get your awesome publications and more to come, and then also how we can support you on social media as well.
Okay. Just one last word with this book. The book is really just for those who have experienced loss. We've all experienced loss, so we can all relate to loss, loss of our will, loss physically, mentally, emotionally. God's design for us is never to leave us in loss, but he wants us to lose so that we can win. Sometimes we have to lose things in order to gain better things. And that's what Wilderness to Wellness is about. Wilderness to Wellness is really about just gaining better for yourself, gaining insight into God's plan, gaining strength when you thought and felt defeated. So Wilderness to Wellness is a story of hope, is a story of inspiration, is a story of faith, is a story of perseverance, and is not just my story, but it's everybody's story, because everybody has experienced a wilderness. Everybody may be, some people are going through it now, but even in going through it now, there's hope. God has sent me just to let you know that there's hope, that wellness is at the end of this, is through, you're going through it, and in going through it, that means you're still moving. You're, as long as you're going through, that's movement, and as long as you have movement, you are going towards your wellness. So you can reach me, Gmail, Dr. Nina Knight at gmail.com. I'm on social media, Dr. Nina Knight, on Facebook and also on Instagram and LinkedIn. If you want to purchase the book, it is on drninaknight.com. You could purchase it there, or you can go to Barnes & Noble, Amazon. You may also purchase it there, and any e-books, iBooks, iTunes, Google Play, Nook. So it's really available wherever books are sold. So if you go into a bookstore, request it. So if it's not in your bookstore, request it just and have them send it to you.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got to say this because this is my teaching voice. Ladies and gentlemen, you know I'm a publisher as well and a best-selling author. Well, she just said that last little nugget. It just made me jump almost. She said, they don't have the book, request that. Now, actually do that as well in the libraries, because guess what? When they request a book, they always order maybe two copies. So they'll call you when one is ready, and then they guess what they got to do with the next one? They got to put it on the shelf. So now all of a sudden you in the public library and you in the bookstore. That's a secret that the publishers, but it was in my spirit to share that. That's a secret that the publishers don't, when you publish your book, especially self-publishing, I mean the high-end published, they've been doing it for years, but you know, we self-publishers or the hybrid publishers, that's one of their secrets that they do to get your book on the shelf.
Oh, wow. See, I didn't know that, but God bless.
Oh, amen. Lord, I truly have had a good time, and I know everybody has as well. I just thank you, Dr. Knight, for taking time out and being here with us. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for being in your purpose. That's number one. And thank you so much for being a guest here on Good Deeds. If you need us for anything, you know, please, please don't hesitate to get in contact with us.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And again, I am humbled. I am honored to have had the opportunity to just participate in this program. I'm inspired. God continues to connect me to people who inspire me. I am inspired by your story and just all that God is doing for you. I'm just like amazed and I'm just like encouraged. I'm saying, here go my black sister, go my sister. So I'm just encouraged. God bless. God bless.
Oh, Lord, God bless you. It's all him because, you know, it's all about him, as we said earlier. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to let you know that we love you so much. You're at Good Deeds. And if you want to know anything about our advertising, our sponsorship, we do have a free gift for you to identify your purpose. And the next step after you identify that purpose is over at our website, which is www.reneesunday.com. Please go over to iTunes and, you know, make sure you get our podcast. Isn't that wonderful? You can download them and listen to them on the plane, car, and when you're working out. And then also we're on YouTube, and that information is on our website. You can just click it, and it goes right over to there. But, you know, I just love you guys. We do have a lot of events that's coming up. Please stay in tune. with that, especially for women. Men, we got you covered too, so don't hang in there. But always remember, please remember that you do have a calling. You do have a reason. One, you were born. You have a reason that you're here right now. Do the three things. You have to believe, you have to trust, and you have to walk it out. You have to, you say it with me, don't stop, get it. You know, this is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. See you next time. Bye-bye.